Pinocchio. Home and dry. Pinocchio was in such a hurry to escape from Playland and the drum maker that he swam far out to sea until all that could be seen of him was a tiny black speck on the horizon. He was so happy to be free that every now and then he swung his legs out of the water and waggled them above the surface, like a dolphin's tail. He swam for hours, not really caring which way he went. Then suddenly, he glimpsed a strange sight. Towering out of the waves was a rock of pure white marble. And on the top stood a beautiful little goat, which was bleating to him in a very friendly way and nodding excitedly. Most surprising of all, the goat's hair was blue. And Pinocchio realized that it was not a normal goat at all, but his good fairy in disguise come to rescue him again. His heart began beating at twice its usual rate, and he swam towards the goat with all his strength. But before he was halfway to the marble rock, a huge monster shark reared up out of the water. Pinocchio felt himself drawn helplessly towards its massive mouth and its three rows of enormous jagged teeth. Just think of Pinocchio's terror. He struggled to change direction. He cried piteously for help, and the blue goat called out in anguish, "Swim quickly, Pinocchio! The shark will get you!" But it was already too late. Gigantic jaws closed around the wriggling puppet, and everything went dark. Pinocchio felt himself sliding down the monster's throat and into its vast stomach. And then he blacked out. When Pinocchio came to, he was terribly scared. It was very dark and eerily silent. From time to time, there was a strange rasping noise, and great gusts of wind blew into his face. It was the shark breathing. Poor Pinocchio felt so lost and alone that he cried and screamed, "Help! Help! Save me! Won't someone save me?" Then out of the gloom came a low voice.
"No one will save you, unhappy wretch. You can do nothing but wait to be digested."
Who's that?" stammered Pinocchio, shaking with fear.
"It is I, a poor tuna fish, who was swallowed by the shark just before you. But I do not cry or yell. I am a philosopher. I count myself lucky to be eaten by a fish and not by humans."
"But I don't want to be eaten at all," cried the puppet. "I want to escape. How big is this shark and where's the way out?"
"There is no way out,"
replied the tuna with a voice of doom.
"The shark is a mile long, and that's not counting his tail."
Left alone with the tuna, Pinocchio might have given up hope. But while they were talking, he saw a tiny light twinkling in the distance. So, saying goodbye, he groped his way along the body of the shark. It took a long time for him to reach the flickering light. But when he finally arrived, he could hardly believe his eyes. He found a little old man with a long white beard sitting at a table with a lighted candle stuck into a bottle. And who do you think the old man was? Yes, it was Geppetto, the woodcarver, Pinocchio's own dear father. The puppet was overcome with joy. "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, I found you at last after all this time!" And he did not know whether to laugh or cry at the old man's astonished face.
Do my old eyes deceive me? Is it really you, Pinocchio? I thought I'd lost you forever."
And he hugged his son as if he would never let go.
"I've been in this shark for 2 years since that fateful day when I set sail in my little boat. I saw the white dove leave you on the beach and tried hard to return to shore, but the waves blew up and hurled me to the shark. But how have you survived, Daddy?" "In that same dreadful storm, a merchant ship was wrecked, and the shark swallowed all its cargo. For these 2 years I've lived off the ship's supplies. Corned beef, biscuits, cheese and sugar. And there were even bottles of wine. But now I have nothing left, and this is the very last candle.
Hearing this, Pinocchio was more determined than ever to escape. Taking the candle in one hand, he led his poor father off into the darkness. For more than an hour, they struggled along the belly of the shark until they arrived at the back of the monster's mouth. Peering through beyond the jagged teeth, they could see the bright moon and a starry sky. The shark was fast asleep, with his mouth wide open.
"Quick, Daddy, we must get out before the monster wakes."
And as the shark's snoring thundered in their ears, they climbed silently along its tongue, across its rows of teeth, and out onto its giant lip. Then Pinocchio took Geppetto on his shoulders, leapt into the water, and swam away. The sea was calm and silent, and the shark was still sleeping like a log. Pinocchio swam for hours, carrying his poor father, who could not swim a stroke. When dawn broke, the puppet was getting very tired, and there was still no sign of land. Then, just as he felt he could move his arms and legs no more, he heard a familiar voice.
"No need to panic. I will have you on dry land in a few minutes."
It was the tuna. And as Pinocchio and Geppetto clambered thankfully onto his back, he explained how he had followed their example and escaped from the snoring shark. The awful dangers were finally over. The tuna left them safely on a sandy beach, and Pinocchio thanked him again and again. Then the puppet and his father walked slowly inland looking for food and shelter. They had not gone far when they met two creatures begging by the roadside. They were the fox and the cat, who had fallen on hard times. The fox really had gone lame, and the cat really had gone blind.
"Dear Pinocchio," whined the fox, "give a little charity to the needy."
"Yes, my dear boy," pleaded the cat. "Do help the aged and infirm."
But Pinocchio and Geppetto ignored the wicked pair.
"If you're poor now, you deserve it. You won't catch me out again."
"Pinocchio, dear boy."
On they went, and a little further down the road they saw a pretty little cottage in the middle of a field. They walked across to knock at the door.
"Turn the key and the door will open," came a voice from inside.
So in they went, and there, high up on a beam, was the talking cricket.
"Oh, my dear little cricket, how nice to see you," said Pinocchio, bowing politely.
"So, dear little cricket, is it? You didn't say that when you threw a mallet at me. You had no pity for me, but I will have pity on you. Just you remember from now on, it pays to be kind to people when you can."
And the cricket told Pinocchio that he had been given the cottage the day before by a beautiful blue-haired goat, who'd gone away bleating in sorrow about a puppet that had been swallowed by a shark. Deeply moved and determined to be good, the puppet helped his tired father to lie down on a bed of straw, then went off in search of milk for him to drink. A nearby farmer offered him a jug, but only at a price. Pinocchio had to do hours of back-breaking labor, drawing 100 buckets of water from the well to pay for the milk. "Up till now I had a donkey to do this work," said the farmer. "I bought him a few months ago at the market. But he was a lazy devil, always trying to dodge off. Then he fell sick, and now he's dying over there in the stable." When Pinocchio ran over to look, he was amazed, for there, lying stretched out on the straw, was his old friend, Candlewick. The poor, sick donkey opened his eyes for the last time, gave a deep, groaning sigh, and died. From then on, for many months, Pinocchio worked for the farmer every day from dawn to dusk to buy milk for his father and earn a few extra pennies for their daily needs. He'd learned to weave baskets from reeds, and whenever he could, he practiced reading and writing. He worked so hard that after 6 months, he had managed to save up 50 pence. So the next morning, he set off for the market to buy himself a new shirt. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining and the birds were singing in the trees. The puppet was scampering along merrily when all at once he saw a big snail who called out to him.
Pinocchio! Stop!
It was the fairy snail, who'd taken so long to let the puppet into her house the evening after he'd been caught by the giant green fisherman.
My beautiful snail, what are you doing here? Do you know where the fairy is?
Oh, Pinocchio, the poor fairy is very ill in hospital and is likely to die. She has no money left to buy herself food.
At once the puppet snatched the 50 pence from his pocket and gave the coins to the snail.
Quickly, take this money to the fairy. I don't need a new shirt. These rags are enough for me.
Without another word, the snail raced off at high speed, quite unlike her normal self. Pinocchio went straight back to the cottage and started work. Now he had two people to support, Geppetto and the fairy. He slaved away making baskets until midnight, then curled up on his bed of straw and fell sound asleep. And as he slept, he dreamt he saw the fairy. She was more beautiful than ever. She smiled at him and kissed him gently. Then she said softly, "You're a good boy, Pinocchio. You have worked hard for Geppetto and for me in our time of need. I forgive you all your naughty past, and I promise you that if you are good in the future, you will always be happy."
With these words, the dream ended, and Pinocchio woke up with a start. Everything was different. Pinocchio suddenly realized that he was no longer a puppet. He had become a real boy, just like other boys. The little cottage had become his old home, and his rags had turned into new clothes. Just imagine how happy Pinocchio felt. The fairy had kept her promise. At last, Pinocchio was a real boy.
Pulling on his smart new trousers, he found a leather purse in the pocket. A note from the fairy read, "Thank you, Pinocchio, for the loan of 50 pence." And inside the purse were 50 bright new shining coins. Bursting with joy, Pinocchio ran into the next room and found Geppetto working away busily at his woodcarver's bench. Everything was spick and span, and the tools were gleaming.
"This change for the better is all you're doing," he told his son, giving him a hug. "When naughty boys turn over a new leaf, they make everything seem bright. Just look at that silly old puppet down there. Aren't you glad you're no longer like that?"
Pinocchio looked down to see the crumpled wooden toy leaning against the chair with its head on one side and its arms dangling awkwardly. "How ridiculous I must have been," he thought to himself. Then he knelt down and set the puppet straight and felt very proud to be real.